Barry Zwicker has been a journalist from the age of 16.
Yeah.
He's worked for major media outlets, including the Detroit News and Toronto Star and Vision TV. He's earned two fellowships and a number of major awards, including the top three of the Educators Writers Association of Canada. I'm sorry, of America. He's unusual in that during most of his journalism career, he's also been a social and political activist. He knows mainstream and alternative journalism from the inside. He's a producer of the video, The Great Deception, and an alternative view of the War on Terror, one of the first videos I've seen in the 9/11 Truth Movement. He's also director of the May 2004 of the six-day International Citizens Inquiry into 9/11 at the University of Toronto, and is producer of The Great Conspiracy, the 9/11 news special You Never Saw, which to this day is one of the most solid documentaries to see. He's currently out with a new book after exhaustive work, holed up in a little cabin in Canada for months upon months, where he could put out this comprehensive, exhaustive work on media and 9/11 called Towers of Conspiracy. Towers of Deception. There you go. Towers of Deception. Thank you, and please welcome Barry Zwicker from Canada. And check out this very special t-shirt he's sporting.
Okay. You know, I am so privileged to be here, but my gosh, to follow Jim Fetzer and Ralph Schoenman, that is a great big shadow over my head, which I so respect. I've been asked to provide a report from the field, some good news from the field. And the thing is, I've been on this book promotion tour since August the 17th in 10 cities. And so it gives me a little bit of a feeling for what's going on. And the upshot is this. I see incontrovertible evidence that interest in 9/11 truth continues to grow apace, and that this is very troubling for the diabolicarchy. Now, my intention when I started this book tour was to ask the local organizers to find me a chair in some local bookstore, and I'd sign some books and try to get some local media coverage. But what happened was each organizer, without speaking to the others, arranged a public meeting. And all these meetings, this is all by way of evidence about the growth of our movement, at all these meetings, the attendance has been above expectations. In Vancouver, BC, it was close to 1,000. And all the meetings have gone overtime with questions, answers, and discussion, sometimes by 2 and 3 hours. My book publisher tells me that the book sales are going well above average as a percentage of the audience that shows up. Now, another wonderful thing is this, that at each place, the local organizers tell me that it's new faces showing up. It's not just the faces of the anti-globalization people, which should be called anti-corporate agenda globalization people, of whom I am one, and not just the faces of the peace people, of which I am one, and not just the faces of the environmental people, of which I am one, but it is new faces too. And so that is very important. And we know that how slow too many people on the left have been on the 9/11 truth issue. And this is in part, in my opinion, because of left gatekeepers, and I hope to find time to address that later on. So we have another straw in the wind, is that interest by some mainstream media is also up. First for me, it's not an ego trip. I mean, I have an ego, but it's not out of control. Bertrand Russell, with whom Ralph worked as private secretary and more, he's my main hero, Bertrand Russell. And he enunciated his 10 commandments. The first one, by the way, is never lie to yourself. And the second is never lie to others unless they are exercising tyranny. But his seventh commandment is do not attempt to live without vanity, for that is impossible, but be wise in the selection of the audience from which you seek admiration. So on the road, I'm a hero, and at home, less so. So anyway, back to the lower mainland of BC, I was invited on the largest private radio station, CKNW New Westminster, largest private radio station on the lower mainland of British Columbia, for half an hour. And when the half hour went by, I was invited to stay for the full hour. And but we must enter a caution here, because I've been asked to speak mainly about the media. Enter a caution here. In real estate, the three big selling points are location, location, location. But one of the biggest selling points for a story in the mainstream media is timing, timing, timing. And an American social critic once said that anniversaries are reservoirs of sacred power. The fifth anniversary of anything triggers a Pavlovian reaction in the media. So on Tuesday, most media outlets, by the way, from which most people get most of their information on most subjects most of the time, on Tuesday, most media outlets will be back to the old normal, a packed journalism agenda of celebrities, pseudo-events, and stenography. Now, we'll still work to change that. I am not counseling despair. Now, I've also been asked to comment on the recent and continuing deluge of TV and newspaper specials focusing on 9/11, including the two-part ABC special, The Path to 9/11, that begins airing tonight at 8. This essentially cover-up coverage is, as I say, pegged to the fifth anniversary. And most of the material we're seeing in the newspapers and on TV and on radio would not be appearing if it were not for the date. Now, there's a continuing paradox here. The authors of the 9/11 terror fraud have to milk it as much and as often as possible. To do that, they cannot send it down the memory hole, one of the powers they would otherwise exercise. They inescapably have to keep 9/11 alive in fictionalized form for their purposes. But that means that they must keep this target propped up for truth seekers to doggedly continue deconstructing. Now, the case of ABC's pathetic coming contribution, forgive me my negative anticipatory review, is close to astounding. You have here one of the largest communications outfits in world history, owned by Disney, there was a mistake, spending $40 million to create a dramatization of the official fiction, but with politically and ideologically driven falsehoods woven into it. We know about some of the nasty pre-broadcast bits from, and maybe I'm technically wrong here, whistleblowers inside ABC. The network was keeping Bill Clinton, Madeleine Albright, and others out of the loop. They were going to be sandbagged. Poor Madeleine. To be treated this way after she rendered so much service to the diabolicarchy, for instance, with her memorable statement that maybe a million deaths of innocents in Iraq was worth it. But to get back to the media fiction scape, in a sane and not super corrupted world, ABC long ago, in competition with other networks and newspapers, would have invested at least as much money on investigative journalism into the anomalies and absurdities and impossibilities of 9/11 as they have into tonight's and tomorrow night's coming travesty. Can you imagine what the 9/11 truth movement could dig up, nail down, and run with, given $40 million? Now, there's another aspect of it. The ABC isn't really spending its own money. This is sponsored airtime. That's why they can make it commercial-free. Sponsored by the Film Institute. And the director, whose last name is Cunningham, actually is very closely associated with this Film Institute, which is an extreme right-wing organization. And in other words, you could say ABC is for sale, just like Judas, for 40 million silver pieces. And by the way, I'm very pleased in a kind of an odd way, or perverse way, that in my book, Towers of Deception, The Media Cover-Up of 9/11, ABC is one of the five case histories I give. of terrible distortion in the news and otherwise. And that part of my book is entitled The Anniversary Waltz. It's devoted to ABC's news special, in quotes, upon the first anniversary of 9/11. Now, at that time, the ABC News Department alone provided the propaganda. And in my book, I write here, in part, this news special is typical of 9/11 news specials on all the major TV networks on all anniversaries of 9/11 for 4 years. The lead-in suggests a full and accurate account is to follow. What follows is neither full nor accurate. Carefully selected details mask other details just as carefully omitted. Any suggestion of doubt, any suggestion the 9/11 crime case is not closed, that the facts are not all in, that more investigation is needed, that contradictions exist, that people exist who are not satisfied with the official story, all this is absent. And further on, to quote the piece I did on ABC, this news special is at one with the docudramas that reify the official story and avoid questioning. The difference is that the docudramas do it with professional actors and documentary-type production values. The news specials do it with real persons. That's a quote in my book, such as Condoleezza Rice playing the roles. And both blend into a seamless reality. My conclusion, the seriousness of the cover-up of a crime ranks very closely with committing the crime itself. It's as simple as ABC. Now, I do have some fresh news, which I just received from Toronto this morning. Sometime after 9 tonight, you may want to log on to the net, and I'll repeat this later, and go to cbc.ca/Sunday, all lowercase. I'll repeat that as I say. And there you will find posted full transcripts of interviews with Dylan Avery, Bob McElvain, and David Ray Griffin. And perhaps more valuably for us, with Jeff Meigs of Popular Mechanics and one of the all-time masters of cover-up, Lee Hamilton. Now, while disappointingly, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation program, which aired first this morning and will air again in revised form tonight all over Canada, while this CBC program uses clips from all these interviews, it is, regrettably, another intellectually dishonest production, which more or less, I told Dylan about this, more or less sets up Dylan, Bob McElvain, and David Ray Griffin, who have the first word, in order to give lengthy last word on everything to Hamilton and Meigs. And there is no ameliorating further remarks in the script itself. I am told, and I haven't seen this, by a producer I know inside the CBC, that the full transcript of the full hour interview with Hamilton, from which selected clips were taken, is extremely revealing. Even the ultimate slicksters can slip. Sometimes mountain goats lose their footing. And eventually one might hope their bones will be found at the base of the mountain of deceit, which is their normal perch. Now that URL again, it's easy, you can practically remember it, cbc.ca/Sunday, all lowercase. It's difficult to find a whole lot positive in all this, but I think there is a sort of constant, continuing silver lining. What are we for minutes? Thank you. It's this. While the media, with occasional exceptions, remain adamantly resistant to acknowledging any of the brutal facts that blow the official story out of the water, the general public increasingly knows the score. We know the polls. They've been mentioned here several times already today. So, cognitive dissonance is reaching the snapping point, surely. Remember the alleged new video the Pentagon released back in May? It wasn't even real video. It wasn't 30 frames per second. It allegedly showed an airliner hitting the Pentagon. News anchors with their varying versions of assured authority looked millions of us in the eye and pronounced solemnly that these new images of an airliner would put to rest the conspiracy theories. They then rolled the tape, which showed that that's right, folks, no airliner. It was amazing to watch, was it not? Personally, I think this was a beta test by the PSYOPs gang in the Pentagon to see how far cognitive dissonance could be stretched within newsrooms and with viewers. Well, the newsrooms passed the test with flying colors. They proved they're on a par with their counterparts in abject third world dictatorships and banana republics. No surprise there. But the polling the PSYWAR people did among viewers probably is valuable to them. Don't think that they don't do constant polling of the public pulse, giving clues as to how much more wool can be pulled over the public's eyes before they have to maybe bring down the hammer, declare martial law, and round up those who refuse the brainwashing of the trained SEALs on TV and in the newspapers, and ship us off to those detention centers that are being built all over the place, but the media are barely, if at all, reporting on. I get some of my information about these detention centers from the business pages of the New York Times in stories about the rising stock price of corporations such as Wackenhut. And it reminds me of IG Farben's rising profits in Nazi Germany, due in part to its production of Zyklon B gas, used to kill Jews before the gold from their teeth and jewelry were removed prior to their being burned in crematoria. The gold went to the International Bank of Settlements in allegedly neutral Switzerland to help bankroll Hitler's war machine, which your current president's grandfather, Prescott, would be fully aware of as one of Hitler's prime financial enablers. But I digress. The current spate of 9/11 print and broadcast specials can be divided into two categories. One is hit pieces against 9/11 truth, and the other is variations on the theme of the official story. For instance, how the families of victims are managing, how America used to be held in high esteem and what happened, and how the war on terror is going, etc., etc., etc. But because the sometimes unarticulated or sometimes articulated major premise embedded in all these pieces is the official story, these are just carriers of the mental virus, however diverting they may otherwise be. Now, solution orientation. Keep on deconstructing the media. Keep on writing letters to the editor. Keep on phone-in shows, trying to establish contacts with people within the media, mainstream or alternative, that you feel are honest and truly open-minded. Provide them with key information, follow-up, and so on. And you know what? I'm going to absolutely abide by my time, which means I could not start on the left gatekeepers. It would be an abortion because I just get 1 minute into it and have to stop. And I'll just, I got an idea. Buy my book. There's a 15,000 word chapter titled The Shame of Noam Chomsky and the Gatekeepers of the Left. Thank you.